gotta see this.
KXNO's Thirsty Thursday continues with tonight's Cyclone Fanatic radio show, which is powered by your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet. Now let's head north to Whiskey River in Ankeny, where Chris Williams, Brent Bloom, and Jared Stansberry are standing by.
Yo, it's the Cyclone Fanatic radio show presented by Carl Chevrolet. Carl Chevrolet is celebrating 40 years of service in central Iowa. Brent Bloom, I'm jacked up tonight.
Let's do this. What are the let's go? Is that what the kids say? Let's
I said,
go.
I said let's roll on
let's
Twitter,
roll.
But we're
let's
yeah,
go.
Let's go. Let's go works as well.
Okay.
I was in a bad mood this morning with the news of LeBron James possibly taking a meeting with the Golden State Warriors.
Not gonna happen.
Some clown tearing up the Field of Dreams up in Dyersville.
Yeah, what is that all about?
I don't know.
Well, he got arrested though.
But now it's time to talk some hoops. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. I'm in a good mood now.
How about that last night? Unexpected,
yeah. I think that puts it lightly.
I mean, it's just one of those deals where it's so many similarities to the Oklahoma game in football.
Yeah.
Where not expecting anything, you lose arguably your leader, mm-hmm. you know, Park as compared to Wyler Babb. Nobody gives Iowa State a chance. And they completely, you know, it's a little bit different because I think what really helped Iowa State last night is when Jackson hits those two threes early. And it's almost like the entire team said, okay,
yeah,
we can do this. We can still compete. And then everybody had an impact pretty much that played. In West Virginia's press, which we thought would be an issue, actually played right into Iowa State's
right.
strength, which I guess looking backwards now, we probably could have seen that as a potential pitfall for West Virginia against Iowa State. But, man, the way that all came together, that was as much unexpected fun in Hilton that I've seen – Man, I think in my time,
we won't go too
Iowa
far
State,
into that because that's a discussion for
I
later
get,
on.
But that it was just wild and completely
yeah.
unexpected.
I think another play that really sticks out to me from those first few minutes is when Solomon Young caught the ball in the short corner and he went up and dunked
on yeah.
Sagaba Kanate, and it was like from that moment on throughout the rest of the game, nobody on Iowa State's team was scared to go in the paint, and that's a guy that has been dominant at times. When you blocking shots, you think back to that Kansas game. He blocked like five shots in a row at one point in that game against the Jayhawks in Morgantown. And from then on, it didn't matter if it was Lindell or if it was Zoran Talley or anybody. You know, all of them were prepared to go straight at the rim and
do
everything they could. And exactly, they needed to get something that it was like we can go in there and we can play with these guys. And there was no moment where the physicality of West Virginia seemed to phase them. And that was the difference between Tennessee and last night, is that when Tennessee started to get rough with them, it seemed like they started to get off their game and they got, you know, they just
it kind of curled up.
Yeah, they kind of curled up and backed off. And when West Virginia got physical with them last night, they got physical back. And you saw guys getting on the floor, guys knocking each other down. I mean, it was just a completely different team from what we saw against Tennessee. And I would say it was a completely different team than we've really seen at a lot of points this year.
And I think Young and Lard together, they kind of did that Anaheim, or not Anaheim, but the Mighty Ducks, you know, the old Disney movies, the Bash Brothers thing. That's what those two can do, especially defensively. I thought they played well. They were physical inside. They didn't let West Virginia get a bunch of easy stuff, way too much easy stuff against TCU and Tennessee. If Young can play like that, though, that's what Iowa State needs. He was a great energy right away, as you said, gets a double-double, I believe, and did not allow anything inside that was easy, and he matched Kanate, who was probably the most, you know, one of the most physical guys in the conference, and you couple that with the way they handled that pressure. Think about this, Stan. Iowa State had only 8 turnovers yesterday. West Virginia's previous low on the season for an opponent was 12, and they're one of the nation's leaders. They create about 20 a game. Iowa State had 8. And it was with Zoran Talley, who really had never played the point forward position, controlling the ball for a lot of that. But it was brilliant because the plan for West Virginia is it's Carter, and it didn't help. It actually helped Iowa State. Miles wasn't there.
Yeah.
Miles had the flu.
Oh, yeah, a lot.
Because
yeah.
he's one of the guys that pressure, and the other guy, Bolden's not as good at the pressure stuff. But you took Carter away from the ball with Wigginton, and it made Talley up against one of their 3-4 guys, and it's not the same pressure. The game plan was fantastic, and eventually West Virginia had to wave the white flag in the second half because the pressure just wasn't working, and I have not seen that in a long time against the Mountaineers.
Well, it was interesting, too, to hear Bob Huggins come into his press conference and say that they didn't press, you know. And I as I think back to it more, it's like, okay, in the traditional sense of what West Virginia has done, is he probably correct? Yes, but to say that they didn't put any pressure on what Iowa State was trying to do, I think is factually wrong. But for what he's probably considering to be their press, the run and jump and trapping and all that stuff, they probably technically did not do that. But still, what Zoran Talley was able to do in a position that is so foreign to him, I can't imagine he ever did anything like that at Old Dominion. I don't know how many games he started, but it probably isn't very many. And for him to come into a position where he's been the sixth man, play 20-ish minutes a game in the time he's been available, and to be that good in that role, that was eye-opening. And that's going to give Iowa State an interesting dynamic for what they can do here in this time that Nick Wyler-Babb is out, I think.
And did it under control. That's the most – because you get it in that situation, first start, the game's going really quickly, you've got good pressure. But, you know, back to Huggins' thing, it's because of the way Iowa State – broke that so-called press is why they didn't press.
Yeah.
Because they had the same. They did the same thing with Burton last year in the Big 12 tournament where they just got the ball to Deontay and then they've got a big on him and you can't have those guards up
swarming.
Because then
yeah.
you get an easy layup. And West Virginia's defense was – I don't know what they were trying to do because they were kind of caught in the middle of, like, we're kind of pressuring. We're not really. And then Iowa State just blitzed them.
Yeah.
I mean, shooting 60% against those guys. But Talley didn't – shoot a three, I don't believe.
He shot one.
He did shoot the one. But everything was under control, 15 feet and in, and just ran the offense.
Yeah.
And allowed Wigginton and Jackson to do their thing without having to run the offense. And I thought those two were phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And God, when Wigginton, remember the block? I think it was in the second half.
That took Javon Carter completely out of the game.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was floating in the air. And he did some stuff last night. We're just like, my gosh, this guy is some kind of talent. But I thought it really was Donovan showing some leadership, not in a vocal way. It was just, but those two shots early in the first half, that got Iowa State a six-point lead. And from there, they didn't panic, even when West Virginia came back. And Iowa State made all the plays. It was, just kind of a stunner.
Yeah.
Everybody played well and beat another top 20 team in Hilton Coliseum for the second week in a row. It's just wild.
And we've seen Lindell Wigginton play well, obviously, throughout the entire year. Like he's had big games like that. But for him to do it against a guy that is the reigning Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, arguably one of the best perimeter defenders in all of college basketball, and with the way that he guards you, you know, he's sneaky about it. I think that he gets away with a lot of stuff.
He does.
And, I mean, the way he'll try and reach around you, or the way that I tweeted the one thing where Lindell had the ball out between the circles, every time he would dribble, he would hit the offhand. He wouldn't hit it, but he would, like, tap it.
Yep.
And it's just, like, being annoying is what I termed it. It's not really a foul, but you're just reminding someone that you're there.
And if you do it all the time, the official says, I can't call them all.
Right,
so
yeah.
Just let them go.
Exactly. And so he's just so good, like, crafty in what he tries to do defensively. And to see him driving by him or hitting those pull-up jumpers over the top of him, I mean, those are the moments when you watch Lindell Wigginton and you're like, this is why he is a guy that we haven't seen at Iowa State, at least in a long time. Like, just that NBA, can't-miss type NBA talent in some of the things that he's able to do.
It's so odd, though, from Saturday against Tennessee where Wigginton was really loose with the ball again.
And he was passive.
He was just like, what? You know. But then to translate that 4 days later, and I think that was his most complete game.
Yeah.
I know he's really good against Iowa. He's been good at times at Kansas. He was fantastic, but completely in control. And I think showed that he can be a lead guard. He's never going to be a natural point guard like Monte Morris. And Iowa State fans have been spoiled because Monte was an elite decision maker. But Wigginton did some things yesterday that were just phenomenal. His ability to go in on the bigs and shot a bunch of free throws again last night and not be afraid and to challenge them to drive the ball past Carter and at Carter. He's a better athlete than Carter.
Yeah.
I mean, he showed that. He is an elite athlete, and he was so good. But the rest of the team kind of rallied around it, and Iowa State was in control the whole time. They got in that fast-paced game, but they didn't hurry. You know, it's like the old quote, be quick but don't hurry.
Yeah.
And I thought they got what they wanted in offense. And Steve Prohm said it before the game, we're not going to run a whole lot of set stuff against these guys. It's break
the
pressure.
When they did, they got buckets out
of
them, though. Yeah.
They did, but it was really simple ball screen, spread the floor, drive them, and get layups, and it worked. And I think with a young team, sometimes simple is better. And these guys, they've got some talents. And I think we've fallen into this thing as Iowa State fans. Oh, they're young. They've shown now multiple times that if they're together and they're playing well, they can literally play with anybody. And if they play like that, and they won't, because it was part of West Virginia's doing to allow Iowa State to get into that thing. But they can compete with anybody, and so that's what's encouraging now in February with still plenty to play for this year.
And I think that especially if Solomon Young can play at that level, and not even offensively, he went 6-for-6 from the field. You can't expect Solomon Young to go 6-for-6 from the field every time out. But for him to play with that level of physicality, blocking shots, crashing the boards with reckless abandon, he's like the – I was talking to Rob Gray about this. You know, Nick Wyler-Babb's like the brain of the team. Donovan and Lindell are like the heart and soul, but he's like Solomon's like all the muscles, I guess I would put it. I don't know how to – like he's just like the physicality of the team, you know? Like when he is playing well – oh, I called him the backbone. Because when he is playing well and he is really playing physically is when you've seen them beat some teams in the Big 12. Baylor, he had 12 boards. I think he had almost a double-double against Texas Tech.
Yep.
And then he has a double-double last night, and they play as good a game as they have all season.
And he gets Lard going too.
Yeah.
I think when Young's good, Lard almost frees up that he doesn't feel like he has to do everything back there. And I thought Lard was –
Fantastic too. He responded as well as he possibly could.
But specifically defensively, Lard was not good defensively against Tennessee. He let the whole – I don't know what's going on with him, but he let the whole thing kind of impact his game, and he was just out of it.
Yeah.
But he was engaged right from the get-go against West Virginia. I think it's part because Young got off to a good start. When those two are defending together, that's two 6'8", 6'9", guys, 230 pounds that can move and jump. And that's a tough back line.
Right.
And they disrupted some West Virginia stuff early. And you didn't see Carter and those guys really going at him. I mean, they shot, 33s last night, West Virginia, and that's not their offense.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was Iowa State's back line of the defense that really got them going, and I think Young's a big part of that. He doesn't have to be crazy offensively and take threes, and I know C-Dubs talked a lot about that, but he did what he could. Everything was around 4 feet, and he just played a solid game.
And it was just interesting to me, like you look at the stat sheet after the game, and you see Jacoby Long come in 11, 12, 15 minutes or whatever it was he plays. He goes 1-for-1 from the field, has some rebounds, played really nice defensively in the time that they had him
out there. Didn't hurt him at all,
Jeff Beverly comes in and hits two big shots in 10 minutes, has some boards. He's just out there hustling. And then, I mean, it just seemed like everybody on the team found the role that they were, like, supposed to be in, you know? And I don't know, like, I don't know why it took so long for it to get to that point where it all clicked kind of. And it was like on one night, everybody played really well.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, they played seven.
Yeah.
I mean, Brace didn't play, really.
He played 2 minutes.
And then
Terrence Lewis played one minute.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't think this is a formula that necessarily you just keep those seven the rest of the way.
Right, no.
That won't work. It's just for whatever reason on that night, everybody did their job as well as they could, and it resulted in the game wasn't in contention really in the second half. You know, Iowa State blitzed a really good West Virginia team, and it sets some things up now. I mean, I think this is the exciting part now. In 11 days, Iowa State's beaten two ranked teams. In the middle of that, they had a really disappointing game against Texas, and then the Tennessee game was an abomination. It was really bad. But yet, they've now had some building blocks to – it's not even just getting excited for next year, because I think everybody's excited for next year, what they have coming in. But they could still do some things at this year, and that game proves, you know, get a couple wins here. If you can go win at Baylor, now all of a sudden you're 4-6 in the Big 12 and tied for sixth potentially, and then who knows what happens. But just good things. I mean, give Steve Prohm a lot of credit, because I know he took it really hard on Saturday, as did everybody. That was a horrible performance in Hilton Coliseum. For those guys to turn it around that quickly – it goes to show why we all love college sports, because you just never know one game to the next.
Right. And I don't know. I mean, like I said, if they – and you said this too. If they play it at that level of physicality with that
That's
level
it.
Of toughness, and just the way that they were sharing the basketball, you saw – and I think back to that Tennessee game where they had a two-on-one. It was early on in the game, and Lindell pulled up and shot a jumper from the elbow. And this is what you and I were tweeting at each other about this. Cam Lard was the first guy down the court. All he had to do was throw it up to the rim, and it's an alley-oop dunk.
Yep.
And Lindell pulls up and shoots a elbow jumper, misses it, and then you know, you go back the other way, Cam Large standing on the block at that end, like, why'd I even run down here?
Why am I out here?
Yeah. And then late in the game, you're seeing where it's this, almost the same exact situation, and Lindell shuffles it off to him. He makes that nice finger roll layup, avoiding the strip by Javon Carter. And then the very next play, again, he throws down a thundering dunk that wakes the crowd back up, and all of a sudden you're up 18, and West Virginia's got to take a timeout.
Checking out. And then later in that half, Jackson, who has not been known for his unselfishness sometimes,
yeah.
You know, he gets into the one-on-one stuff, and he really got way too much into that against Tennessee. But he threw a lob to, I think it was Jackson that threw it to
Solomon.
To Solomon,
yeah,
for
from
the
way out by half court almost.
But stuff like that, it's contagious. And Iowa State, from the get-go, was sharing the ball, and they couldn't play any better. And it's as fun. I mean, there's a couple things. It's one thing to win when you're expected to win. That's one level of fun. It's almost like you're a Patriots fan, like, okay, we're here in the Super Bowl, great. It's another when you're not expected to and you get one. It's like that's kind of the cool part for me of being a sports fan, stuff like that happens.
Yeah, that Solomon dunk was like the point. Chris and I kind of looked at each other. I don't know what the score was, but West Virginia had pulled their defense back. They'd gone into a zone sometimes. They were going to make Iowa State play in the half court, and they had no idea what they were doing, just lost Solomon, threw the lob up, and I looked at Chris and I was like, okay, we might be wrong.
It's
here. There's something going on.
Yep.
But Brent and I will talk about Iowa State's upcoming game with the Baylor Bears when we come back. You're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show presented by Carl Chevrolet from Whiskey River in Ankeny on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here wanting to tell you about my friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. Now, as you all have come to expect over the years, Nebraska Furniture Mart is known for their great prices, awesome leadership, impressive selection when it comes to, you know, appliances, electronics, flooring, window treatments, of course, countertops as well. Well, now they've taken it a step further, offering the whole home solution, and they've got a full line of custom cabinetry. Come out to their store in Clive. Meet the design sales staff to get you that new updated kitchen that you've been looking for. The staff will help you through the entire project from flooring to the cabinets. Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, your kitchen and bath remodel headquarters.
Ever since the first footballs were made of pigskin, there's been a connection between football and pork. Today, that connection thrives in parking lots, where you'll find everything from spicy spare ribs to bacon-wrapped pork tenderloin being served at tailgating parties. Once again, without pork, football just wouldn't be football. This message is brought to you by the Iowa pork producers through the Pork Checkoff, who make tailgating more delicious. Learn more at iowapork.org.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams with Cyclone Fanatic, and I am excited to be here today promoting one of my all-time favorite brands, Iowa's iconic whiskey, Templeton Rye. True story, on Friday nights when I'm relaxing, trying to get primed for a busy Saturday of covering the Cyclones, the good stuff is my go-to drink, and it has been for well over a decade. With its smooth taste, Templeton Rye's 4 and 6 year whiskeys are my absolute favorite. And it's a really exciting time for the town of Templeton, where Templeton Rye is building their brand new distillery. It's going to be awesome once they get it finished, and I cannot wait to visit Templeton to see it in person. Cyclones, there's no better drink on game day than Templeton Rye. It's Cyclone Fanatic approved.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland orthopedic surgeons and sports medicine professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Fanatics, we need to give a big shout-out to one of our longest-running sponsors at Cyclone Fanatic. That's our friends at Heartland Flagpoles and Flags. Now, I know a lot of you out there, you've already grabbed Iowa State flags and a bunch of merch from them, but did you know that they have a ton of other stuff, too, like NFL flags, MLB, NBA. They've got NASCAR flags, metal signs, and, of course, flagpoles for tailgating your house or business. You can spend hours on their site. Check out Heartland Flags in person as well. Located at 3719 Southwest 9th in Des Moines. Free shipping when you shop online at heartlandflags.com and tell them thanks for supporting Cyclone Fanatic.
Back by popular demand, One Night of Queen performed by Gary Mullen and The Works. It last time. See the show that people are still talking about. One Night of Queen performed by Gary Mullen and The Works. Saturday, March 10th at Wild Rose Casino and Resort, Jefferson.
Tickets are on sale now. Jefferson.WildRoseResorts.com or inside the Iowa store. Saturday, March 10th, only at Wild Rose Casino and Resort, Highway 30 Jefferson.
This year marks 40 years of being your dealer for life right here in Ankeny, Iowa at Carl Chevrolet. Choose from over 300 GM-certified pre-owned vehicles, all including an industry-leading 6-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, 2-year, 24,000-mile complimentary scheduled maintenance, and a 12-month, 12,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty. Our 5-star platinum quality certified vehicles are the best in the country, or Carl wouldn't put his name on them. It's time to find new roads and experience the Carl Platinum Certified difference for yourself. Integrity, trust, satisfaction, and confidence. Visit CarlChevrolet.com to view our complete inventory today. Carl Chevrolet, I-35, exit 90 in Ankeny at The Rock.
Your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet.
Thanks, Sean.
What is this?
This is Vince Staples. You like Vince Staples?
Never heard of him.
You never heard of Vince Staples?
Never heard of Vince Staples.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to be honest.
It's phenomenal. Thanks again, Sean. Welcome back to the Psychofanatic Radio
singing.
Show. Presented by, what's that?
Does he just do beats or is he nobody
no,
singing?
No, he's a rapper. It's coming.
Okay. Where are you at, Vince? I can be the old guy now. It's great.
There you go. Vince Staples. Welcome back to the Psychofanatic Radio Show. Presented
by
Carl Chevrolet. Bloom, I know Baby Bloom's coming soon. Do we need to get you in a minivan, get you down to Carl Chevrolet?
Man, what do you... I don't think I'll ever be a minivan guy. I say that now. I'd probably be a maybe Chevy Equinox.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I should go down there.
You should.
Yeah.
You need to get upgrade your vehicle.
A Silverado's a truck. That probably won't work for me.
No.
I don't think I could.
C-Dub still makes it do. But.
Yeah, I don't know if I could be a truck guy. Probably
you don't
van,
look like
though.
A truck guy.
No,
like, I can't imagine you getting
I'm
out
not,
of a truck.
I'm not a van guy either, though. Driven a.
I don't know. I think
Chevy
I could see like.
I like the Impala. It's a nice car.
I think I could see like 8 years from now, Bloom driving a
minivan.
Soccer dad, Bloom.
Trouble. Not no,
no.
No soccer.
Okay, basketball dad.
Basketball.
There we go.
Can you imagine the grief I would give to second and third grade officials?
Chris and I were actually talking about this last night.
That's why I can't wait the most is to coach like second and just.
You'll just
really
be,
well. No, I'll be very fair. Mm-hmm. But if they're in the wrong position,
they'll hear about it.
Judgment's one thing, but if you're not running, because I've seen a lot of youth basketball, and at least show some effort out there, officials. Like you can't be walking up and down the floor. I don't care if it's second or third.
You wouldn't like to watch me officiate then.
No, you mean it's all about perception.
No, last night C-Dub. Because I got an injury playing basketball.
Yeah, you got a little, little shiner.
Yeah, and C-Dub said, if you ever need anybody on your team, he's like, hey, I can shoot the three. I was like, okay. He's like, I shoot 50% from three, but I can't do anything besides that. I was like, I don't know about it if I believe the 50% number, but I'll make sure and keep that in mind. And I said, if we ever need to complain to the officials, I'll let Bloom know.
Well, so have you seen Williams' form?
No.
It would belong in the 40s.
It's like a set shot.
It's like a set shot push yeah. thing going. I mean, it does. To give him credit, it occasionally goes in, but it's not one you know.
See, but for him to come in and say 50%, like that's more than occasionally. Is he stretching it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a set shot, so
okay.
It's getting blocked
okay.
too.
Yeah.
Like, it might be 50% if there's nobody around him, but he's got a slower release than, you know, I don't even know. It's not pretty.
Okay, I'm gonna have to give him some grief about that.
I mean. He did not watch the shooting form videos that are out there, clearly.
He doesn't know about beef?
No, does not. Does not.
Iowa State traveling to Baylor
Waco.
On Saturday to take on the 10th place in the Big 12, Baylor Bears. How do you feel about this one? Obviously, Iowa State handled them relatively well in that first matchup in Hilton.
Right. And Baylor's just really – run into a bunch of bad luck lately, mm-hmm. and they've now lost, 7 of 8? They were ranked in December,
yeah.
and they have completely fallen off the wagon, but they've been competitive, with the exception of they went to Florida on Saturday and just got drilled by the Gators, but they had Oklahoma beat in Norman on Tuesday, and they melted
beat
down
in Lawrence,
and they had So they still, you know, even though they're last, I mean, this is the thing about the Big 12; they'll still be probably a 6-7 point favorite over Iowa State. I don't know what KenPom has.
When I looked at, I've got it right here. KenPom has them by 9.
9. I see. Okay. I think it'll be probably closer to 7.
Yeah.
But they've got people, and LeConte hasn't really shot it very well. Achuol, Iowa State did a nice job on him. It's a winnable game. Iowa State has not won there, though, Jared, since old Corey Lucius and Will Clyburn went down there in 2013. So with some really good Iowa State teams, have not won there in 5 years. It's a weird place.
I was gonna say, it's another one of those weird games.
It is, and they don't fill it, and it's green seats everywhere. It's a tough place. Iowa State really struggles to shoot there traditionally for some reason. And it's just been a tough place to play. But I think it's one that if Iowa State is serious about postseason play, and I think they can be at this point, they still got to reel some of these off, it's a game that they need to win.
Yeah, and I think that it's one that they can win.
I think we've
hammered this to death, and not just on this show, but in the last couple weeks, really. If they played the way that they played against West Virginia, the way they played against Texas Tech, even the way they played in that first game against Baylor, or against on the road at Kansas, if they play that way, not only can they beat anybody in this league, I mean, they can play right with or beat just about anybody. But when it just is getting, it's getting that varsity team, like Coach Prohm said, to show up rather than the JV team. And you don't know. He said today, he's like, I don't really know until we get out there on the court and the ball's tipped up in the air what we're going to get, you know.
They are the opposite of West Virginia, though, in the way they play defense. So probably without Wyler Babb again, how does Iowa State work with that current lineup? Because you've got to shoot over the top. Clearly Jackson's been good shooting. I don't know how they get around that thing. Nick Ditt wasn't great against them, if I remember, but he was, you know, a pretty good orchestrator. It's an interesting game, but LeCompters were actually really good against Oklahoma. He had 29 and made 7 3. So if he figures it out, he's the one player that can really get it going. You know, Achul's going to be okay. You know, Amat was really good against Oklahoma as well. But they don't usually have the offense that some of these other teams in the Big 12. So it's one of those games where Iowa State doesn't necessarily need to be great on offense if they can still get a win. Mm-hmm. I just think it's one they can get on the road. Of all the games left on the road, I would say that's probably opportunity number one right now.
Yeah. Nick Wyler-Babb had 15 points, 10 assists, and 7 rebounds in the first game
really
against
good.
Baylor. So he was really good, actually.
Tally's not going to do that.
No, he's not going to do that. But, I mean, if he can give you what he had last night, 7 points, 6 points, I'm looking.
Yeah, we were like 7-4 and 7
3 points,
or something.
4-5 assists, and 4 rebounds.
Yeah.
If he can give you that, then you can hope that Lindell and Donovan can be that good again.
But it's against Baylor, it's just such a different style. Like, it's going
to
be in the
half
court.
Shoot the basketball.
They have to shoot it, and they just never have down there. So, Donovan, okay, I'm going to give Donovan. He's got to get 20. He's got to get 23. Mm-hmm. 23 or more, I think obviously he's got a chance. But he has to make 5 or 6 threes in Waco.
This is obviously a product of what Iowa State's record is and how they've looked in Big 12. Is Donovan one of the most, like, overlooked players in college basketball? I mean, I think he's one of the most overlooked pure scorers, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty one-dimensional.
Yeah.
You know? It's not like he's – but yesterday he even showed a little bit of off-the-bounce stuff, which usually when he's going to the rim, I think you're probably like me. You're like, oh, gosh, this is not it, especially with the right hand.
Right.
I mean, how many times have we seen, like, the right hand wild that doesn't really come close to anything? But his percentages are crazy good. I mean, he's got to be pushing 45% from three this year again, and he's a lot of times with a hand in his face. Donovan Jackson's Big 12 season has been very underrated. I think he's been fantastic, probably not first-team all-Big 12 guy, but I think he's got to be in the second-team, third-team honorable mention stuff because what are his percentages if you have him
shooting
put up there?
42% from three, 71 makes, which is pretty
on the season.
Pretty dang good.
Yeah,
that's ninth. 45% in Big 12 play, which is ninth in the league. 38% from two-point range.
Yeah.
And then he's shooting 94% from the free throw line.
What are his totals? Points.
It's like 15 points something. Yeah. I looked at that earlier today.
He made a lot of big shots this year.
Yeah.
And I agree. I mean, I think
– And he's had some really big games, too. Just in general.
Well, they love this stat on TV because they go back and rewatch everything. The guy that has more 20-point games other than Trae Young is Donovan in the Big 12.
They only bring that up on Iowa State games because they need a reason to bring up Trae Young.
Yeah. It's the Trae Young Network.
Yeah.
My gosh.
It's about like when Andrew Wiggins, when he was there, that was how about he was. Or they try and figure out ways to bring up Grayson Allen.
It's way worse because they think, they're giving Trae Young like his Steph Curry already.
Yeah.
And the kid is really good.
Well, they showed the pictures of him that one day where he was with LeBron and Kobe and Steph Curry, and it's just like all these different guys.
Do you think, maybe this is a battle royale topic, but I'm not trusting Williams' judgment here. Do you think he's a legit top three pick conversation?
I don't know about top three.
Yeah, I just
– I
don't know about him. I really don't. I think he's good. I think he's top 10 probably. I don't take him in the top five.
I like Ayton and Bagley too much to say he'd be top two. But and then the other guy is that Dončić, who's like complete
– Yeah,
he's
Euro.
A complete wild Nobody card really at this knows. Point. He's probably going to be in the first point guard picked, I would think, unless someone just like falls in love with Trae Young, you know?
Yeah, his numbers speak for themselves. I'm not saying he's a bum or anything.
Right.
But the fact that he's playing – What game on at where were they at? They were at Alabama.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're losing by 10 points, and then his numbers are on there constantly. It's like, does nobody
and
else?
And the fact
matter?
That the other guy, who's probably the second best point guard prospect in college basketball, was outplaying him consistently the entire game.
Another deal, but yeah, good for Trae Young. But I really think Donovan's.
It's crazy
in that.
We still haven't even seen him yet.
And I think Wigginton is having a Big 12 year that he'll be in second team conversation as
That's
well.
That's a topic
for
that will come up as shortly as well.
Man, we're thinking on the same page. But bottom line, Baylor, they're 2-7. They've now lost 4 games in a row. They've been competitive in 3 of those losses. They've still got good pieces. I mean, LeCont Achuil is definitely a pro, and I've always liked Lindsey as a setup guy. They just don't have the depth as they once did with the big guys. So I think Iowa State's bigs, Lard and Young, can neutralize the Baylor guys, and then it comes down to who's going to make shots, Donovan Jackson or Manu LeCompte. And here you go.
This has to be Scott Drew's worst team, like since his first couple, doesn't it? I mean, right after the scandals that were happening.
I mean, they made the NIT the 1 year of Pierre Jackson when they beat Iowa.
Yeah, yeah.
But this team's not in the tournament conversation right now. No. But they're in a better position than Iowa State actually to make.
They're
the tournament.
They're still in the top 50. Yeah, on KenPom, and
their RPI is
2-9 in the Big 12.
Yep. And their RPI is okay. So they're a team that, and you know Scott Drew is preaching this right now, if we win 2 or 3 games in a row, we're right back into the NCAA tournament conversation. They have a nice win. They beat Creighton and Kansas City. I mean, they have some nice pieces there. But they've just been on the bad side of a couple close losses, like Iowa State was early on in the Big 12 race.
For sure. We're going to play some Battle Royale when we come back. We're going to bring Chris Williams in here. You're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show presented by Carl Chevrolet. From Whiskey River and Ankeny on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
This year marks 40 years of being your dealer for life right here in Ankeny, Iowa at Carl Chevrolet. Getting you the best price on your new vehicle has always been the easy part, but the service and selection you receive can't be matched. When Carl opened the doors 40 years ago, he did it with one philosophy: change the car buying experience and take care of his customer. And that still holds true today, 40 years later. With great closeout savings on all remaining 2017 models, start the new year with a Chevrolet from Iowa's number one dealer for all brands, Carl Chevrolet. Come experience the dealer for life difference for yourself. Find new roads and experience why more Iowans drive Chevy, or shop online at carlchevrolet.com. Carl Chevrolet, I-35, exit 90 in Ankeny at The Rock.
Your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet.
Cyclone Fanatic has a new home for our radio shows this season, and that's Whiskey River in Ankeny and Ames. Listen every Thursday night from 6 to 7 on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO. And if you can't make it live, we will have podcasts of our shows across Cyclone Fanatic's various platforms as well. Of course, you can always stop by, meet our staff, have some beers, and watch football at the new Whiskey River in Ankeny's beautiful Prairie Trail area or on Main Street in Ames. Keep an eye on Cyclone Fanatic's social media feeds for game watch information throughout the season.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland Orthopedic Surgeons and Sports Medicine Professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
In the market for a new home? Consider getting your mortgage through Gershman Mortgage, a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com. Gershman's knowledge, experience, and low rates will not only make a positive impact on your home buying experience, but will also save you money as it has for families over the course of 3 decades. Already own? Perhaps refinancing is a solid option for you. Give Gershman Mortgage a shot. Call 515-964-5952 or stop by their Ankeny location at 1200 Southwest State Street, Suite 2C today and tell them Cyclone Fanatics sent you.
There needs to be more football games this season. And here's the reason why. There are simply too many pork recipes that I want to try at tailgating parties. Bacon-wrapped pork tenderloin, double-rump baby back ribs, pulled pork sliders, to mention just a few. You'll find more than 2,000 crowd-pleasing recipes at porkbeinspired.com. This message brought to you by the Iowa Pork Producers through the Pork Checkoff, who make tailgating delicious. Learn more at iowapork.org.
Come on, big fella. You drunk, big fella. 2 cents and now you want to trip, big fella.
This is about you, Chris.
What's up?
Timed it perfectly for you to come into the Cyclone Fanatic radio show.
I don't even know what this is.
It's Chance the Rapper.
I was just saying, he ain't no Ja Rule.
Oh, my goodness. All
right. He didn't even spell Chance.
You're going to start with negative 1 point.
If you
today.
Have to say that you're a rapper, that doesn't really make you a rapper.
Exactly.
Like, duh, Chance.
We're just going to cancel a battle royale for tonight.
You want to do the rest of the show on your own. I'm here at with my people at Whiskey River. I can find plenty of other things to do.
Chris, I like how we're now, like,
we're old. How in the hell did
that happen? Like, you don't think it's going to happen? Because I know, because I was you 12 years ago.
Bloom and I have been, like, the puppies of this market for a really long time. We're people, and now we're old.
I told Bloom.
We're not as old as, like, Keith. Like, that guy is an ancient person.
Walters?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I told Bloom that we're not far off from having to go to Carl Chevrolet to pick him out a minivan.
Bloom will never drive a van. He has way too much self-respect than to buy a van.
You're not going to do that, are you?
I'm going to keep buying
trucks.
I'm sure
it's a quality vehicle.
I'm going to keep buying Silverados, baby. Now, my wife, I think, would be a van. She would go and get the
Somebody,
Chevy van.
Jeremy, tweeted at me that he thinks I'm a Traverse guy.
Yeah, you could be a Traverse guy.
I think that's fair.
I could see that. I'm saving
I'm
up,
not
man.
A Tahoe guy.
Like, I want to get a massive Silverado. That's my goal.
Would
someday.
You get a Silverado or a Tahoe?
Silverado.
Okay, because like Tahoe,
I need
like,
a truck, man.
I still worry about gas mileage. Like I'm fiscally responsible.
Wait a minute. Just trying to think of like where we align politically.
Well, you're.
This is interesting.
Yeah, no,
we
it's
don't
true.
Want to get that.
Yeah.
But it's just it's funny how we are. Because I'd drive the truck and you would drive the.
Yeah, and I drive a Camry currently.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, you need
at least it's not a Prius.
You need is to get out.
Nothing against Prius.
That's a direct shot at Rob Gray right
Everybody
there.
Everybody in L.A. drives a Prius. It was kind of amazing when I was there.
All right, are you ready to stop talking about IRAs and talk about basketball?
No. Yeah, I would love to. Let's go.
All right, CF Battle Royale.
Who would have thought, though, by the way, after Saturday we'd be having a positive basketball conversation? I'm sure you guys have covered that up until now.
I didn't see any situation.
Jared, you were with me before, during, and after the game. I was in utter shock last night. I was so proud of that team. Like, for real. Those guys turned out, and just like Prohm and that staff did such a great job from Saturday to get them ready last night. And it's the best game of the year. Who would have thought it without their point guard?
Right.
Yeah, it was one of those games where you sat down to write and you didn't really know what to.
Where, how do you start
for a lead? You know?
Yeah, because well, there's so much to say.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
No, just a neat night. I was there. Few times that you sit there.
Stop! Stop! Don't say it! Don't say it! We're gonna do first question.
Okay.
All right. Question number one: was Iowa State's win last night over West Virginia the most shocking Iowa State men's basketball outcome in recent memory? Basketball only, so this does not include Oklahoma State, Oklahoma football,
yeah,
or anything
I get what
like
you're
that.
Saying.
All right, who's going first? Chris, you can go first. I got you.
You know, I would probably have to put Kansas last year. Well, because they're down 15. To come back from 15 in Allen Field. But that team was better. Yeah, I would. I would, Jared, because I've seen this team play without Nick Weiler-Babb at the point. And you lose to Milwaukee by 18. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, like, nobody on that team had point guard experience against a Big 12 opponent.
Yeah.
Let alone West Virginia and what they do. Yeah, it was to me. They were 10-point underdogs. I'm sure they were bigger underdogs last year at Kansas.
I don't think they were.
Or they weren't?
Well, it might have been 11.
It
might have been 11.
I was so bearish on the Clones going into that game last night. I did not give them a chance at all. I told Ross on the show last night, Brent, that it would be a Herculean task just to cover the spread. That's how anti-Clones I was going into last. To me, that's the most surprising game I've seen.
Man, that's their. Yeah, I think those are the two in the conversation in recent memory. Now, if you want to go back
What about the Wayne Morgan era?
Well, if you want to go back when Kansas, they won at Kansas, I think that one is a little bit more so because that team was kind of down and out.
They started 0-5 in the Big 12.
Yeah, and then Kansas was, I think, second in the nation at the time, and Stinson was unbelievable. But those are the two. And now, as good as Iowa State turned out to be last year, going in the Kansas game, they just got run by West Virginia at home by 15. And they went in there, like, everyone's going, hell, we're going to lose to Kansas. And then the NCAA tournament's in flux. And then they get down by 15. And that comeback, I think, was more surprising from a pure basketball standpoint. But going into the game, I think it has to be yesterday. I mean, it really, if you talk to any Iowa State fan, I don't think anybody says, no, we're going to win this game. And at least with Monte, Naz, and Matt,
home too,
you can get hot and shock some. Like, there was nothing going Iowa State's way before the game, and you look at that. And they won by 15. Like, the whole result is crazy. I went back and looked all the way to 1997, and they'd never been a 9-point dog at home and won. Like, 20 years in the past. It had never happened. So, I'm going to go with you. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I think it was the most surprising.
I'm going to give Bloom the point because he did 20 years worth of research.
I wrote a 1,000-word column on it.
What do you think? That or Kansas?
I think it was this one. Yeah.
Well, I mean, your point is spot on. That so if I tell you before Kansas last year, Clones are going to be down 15 at half.
And then right.
That gets it.
Right.
But you don't have that perspective going into the game.
Correct. Heck, Iowa State almost won there this year against the top 10 Kansas team.
I was proud of that team after that game.
Right. That's the thing is
the fortress has fallen down.
If you go back and you listen to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show podcast, which are archived on CycloneFanatic.com.
Presented by Carl Chevrolet.
Here at Whiskey River in Ankeny. We've said all along that Iowa State has some pieces. They're going to win some games. Even when they're 0-4, we had a conversation. Like, Iowa State's going to win some games because at that point, Ken Pom had them like 3-15. And we both said 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And they're headed for 6 or 7 wins. Maybe
right
more.
Probably be.
Maybe more.
For sure. All right, question number two. Bloom with a 1-0 lead. Was last night the best game of Donovan Jackson's Iowa State career? Bloom, you're up first.
Oh, hey. I mean, the marble shot against Kansas is still the best moment. But, yeah, he was really good. There was one game in Myrtle Beach where he was fantastic, scored like 30.
Is that Tulsa?
I think it was Tulsa. But this is a much bigger stage. So, short answer, yes, it was the best.
I'll give you a little bit longer answer with a little more perspective. I agree with Bloom that it was his best game. But it was his best game because without Nick Weiler-Babb, Iowa State desperately needed somebody to step up in a leadership role. And you heard after the game Steve Prohm talking about what can you teach with from this game. in Steve's deal was the huddles, like the guys getting together, acting like a team. Hey, the Godfather.
The Godfather
here.
Shows up. You know it's a good day.
Yeah, it's the Godfather's here. But my point is that Donovan, when you go back and watch that, Donovan was a leader last night. Mm-hmm. And Donovan has stepped up greatly over the last week. When he goes out after that Tennessee game and says, we disrespected Hilton, he rallied those guys. And that's a level of leadership we have not seen out of him in an Iowa State uniform. So 6 of 10 from three is one thing, fellas. Donovan's leadership over the last week has ascended his game, in my opinion.
Chris gets the point.
I owned you on that one. Jeez. Just terrible.
You're the only person it's kind of like, in the Cyclone Fanatic like atmosphere that trash talks during Battle Royale.
Well, it's a lot like, you know, the Globetrotters let the Generals score every yeah. once in a while. Just to keep
You're
them.
Still the only person who ever only went through four questions.
Trust me, I know that intellectually I'm not with you, Bloom. I know.
Yeah, so do I.
All right.
That's your problem.
All right, question number three. Arrogant. Based on current career trajectories, could Solomon Young and Cameron Lard combine to be Iowa State's best front court duo in program history?
No.
Not this year, but in the future.
No. I don't think so. I don't think Solomon is – I like Solomon a lot. If Solomon could be that guy every night, then potentially. But, I mean, I would –
Okay. Iowa State could win a lot of games with those two guys playing the way they played last night.
I think, the way they played last night was fantastic. Yeah. Lard has a huge upside. I'm just thinking back to, like, would you take those two over Pfizer and
Martin Rancic?
No. I mean, you know, that's where my mind's
Pfizer,
going
sure.
now.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't.
Even, like, Holman Vroman, you could have a conversation.
I would put those two above.
So I'd say no. Now, having said that, I think that we've just begun to tap Cam Lard's potential. So, like, it's not very fair for me to, like, rate.
I think even Solomon's potential. His game can evolve,
yeah.
I think.
Solomon's got to show me another gear. I really loved what – that was his best game last night.
Yeah.
Let's see it consistently, and then I think you're there. But, like, Lard, like, I just compared him to Marcus Fizer as a senior. That's not fair. So, like, where could Cam be if he's here?
Fizer's the junior, right.
Yeah. Where could Cam be if he's in 3 years? So, like, I don't know. That's a good question
a really
down the road, but I think it's a bit premature right now.
For the old-timers, and this makes you old if you're for real here, Stevie Johnson is kind of what Solomon Young could be, although Stevie was more undersized than Solomon. But I don't ever see Solomon being a 14-8 type of guy. Now, if he was the only post player, then maybe. But if he can be, you know, kind of that – Bash brother mentality with Lard. I mean, I think Lard's ceiling is exponentially higher than Solomon's, and that's nothing against Solomon. I just think that highly of Lard. I think Lard can be, I would say, its best post prospect definitely since Pfizer. But is it the two of them together? I don't know if it fits. I mean, but, I think
like
Pfizer
Holman
anybody,
and Roman could both pop out and hit a three.
Yeah, and that's why I think those two are a little bit. Although Jared Holman made himself into a really good player, he wasn't as a freshman. He was serviceable. And then Jackson came in as a highly talented JUCO.
Can you count Niang and McKay?
I mean, maybe. It's a good question, but I think they've got a ways to go to match Pfizer and either Stevie Johnson or Martin Rancic.
Jared's like, who?
And then even,
I wasn't even born then.
And you
I'm
can
just
even go
to
back
how
to
do I go, how do I know
you can
point
go
him.
Back to Loren
we,
Meyer.
Yeah, we gave the same answer.
Loren Meyer and Julius Mikulik.
I'll give Bloom the point because he at least entertained the idea. You just said no.
I just like here's the deal. Like,
we got a input for Cato and Bankhead, which I appreciate the input, Ryan. But Bankhead was a non-entity on offense, and he wasn't really a post either. He's more of a he kind of played the four. I get it, but yeah. But again, Cato's ceiling is really high. I think Lard offensively is already better than Cato was offensively at Iowa State.
Can I ask? Let me ask Jared. I want to turn this around on Jared.
Skill-wise.
Because Jared knows big men really well, and he's very good at this. So, like, I can't wrap my mind around Solomon being the – I think he's going to be a glue guy for 4 years.
Yeah.
I don't think you want him to be anything more than that. Like, the ball – you only have the ball go to so many places.
So you agree with me.
Yes,
like,
I agree.
And I'm saying – I'm not – I'm not coming down on him by saying that. I watch him, and I don't think he can be more than that.
Okay, so what do you define as a glue guy? I guess is
like you're not drawing up plays in the post for Solomon. That's the glue guy.
Yeah. Okay,
well, kind of like Melvin his sophomore year.
You can maybe do a little bit of pick and roll stuff with him, but I haven't seen from him like I have from Lard the ability. Okay,
he can't take over a game.
Let's throw it in the block and let Solomon go to work.
But I think that.
I wanted to throw back to you is what do you see in him that I don't?
For Iowa State to, I think, to max out what they're going to have next, and we were kind of having this conversation a couple weeks ago. They need him to evolve a little bit. He can't be a back-to-the-basket guy. He needs to be a guy that can step out to the three-point line and put the ball on the deck, and he has to be able to shoot the basketball, I think. Because I think I truly believe that when Michael Jacobson enters this equation – he's going to push Solomon for some minutes.
I agree completely.
And honestly.
Because he can shoot the ball. He can put the ball in the deck. Solomon doesn't have that yet.
And they can go small with Shayok at the 3-4.
Four.
I mean, they really can. And then THT.
And you'll still have Zoran Talley, which we saw last night what he can do.
I hope Solomon proves me wrong here, but I see him being not taking that next step. I think he is him, and that's okay. If that means he starts and plays 20, 25 minutes as a junior and senior, then so be it. But I think he's the one that has the lesser upside than Lard does. For
Of anybody on this roster, his feet will be put to the fire going into next season more than anybody else to maintain his spot, I would say.
Yeah,
I totally
and
agree.
And the starting lineup?
Yeah.
Correct.
Not even just in the starting lineup, but to just keep his
just
minutes
keep
at where they've been?
Yeah,
I would
no
say.
Doubt.
Dude, Prohm's going to have, like...
options.
He's going to have decisions to make, too, because Steve doesn't like playing a really deep rotation.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, there's going to be guys that are cut out of here that
You know what I loved about last night?
Especially with these young guys coming in.
One of my favorite stats from last night, Hans Brace only played 2 minutes. Yeah. Nothing against Hans. They put him in for 2 minutes. He didn't do anything. It was very obvious in those 2 minutes that he didn't match up well with that West Virginia athleticism.
You know who I who
So
led
Steve
the team
cut him out last
rating?
Night. And he'll play a lot on Saturday versus Baylor. I guarantee it. What?
You know who led the team in offensive rating last night?
My boy.
Yeah.
Jay Bizzle.
Jeff Beverly, 250 offensive rating.
Oh, yeah.
It's phenomenal. Jeff Beverly would score 250 points if he
Jay
had 100
Bizzle.
Possessions.
The one in motion when he took the three, though.
Yeah.
Like he was.
Great play.
You know, a young Ray Allen.
I looked at Chris, and he just had his hands over his eyes.
Last night, man, I got, like, to the point, or even when they were up by, like, 14 in the first half, I thought they were going to lose. Like, I'm like, this is not sustainable. They're shooting 75%. Like,
they kept it up.
This is going to implode at some point. And then, like, every time a guy would hit one of those threes, I'd just, like, I got nervous.
I just remember you looked at me and you're like, West Virginia backed their defense off, you're like, this is not good. Like,
yeah,
this is done.
For real.
And then the next, like, 2 seconds later, Donovan throws that lob to Solomon. I was like, okay, I think something's going on.
Did you see that when Huggy backed off the press, I thought the Clones were screwed.
Yeah, and then they threw a couple lobs.
They've done that twice in a row to West Virginia.
So investigative Big J journalism out of you guys. Iowa State's now 4-0 when Steve Prohm doesn't wear a tie.
Jeez.
So you're saying that Steve Prohm needs to go to the pullover?
I don't know. Well, I mean, he had the button down, but no
tie.
The
Big 12 coaches are 3-0 in games when they don't wear ties.
And he was 3-0 in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah. I thought that was a big win for Prohm, though.
Yeah.
Because had he lost last night, he'd be 0-3 at Hilton versus West Virginia. You don't want to be 0-3 at Hilton versus anybody.
Nope. No. So Steve, maybe not bring a tie.
Steve is a fan of the program.
Maybe not bring a tie down to Waco.
There's a 50-50 chance Coach Prohm will listen to this.
Just throwing it out there. I mean,
you know that Campbell listens to the podcast?
No, he doesn't.
There's no way.
Oh, my goodness.
He once texted me about Lane Danielson being shirtless mowing the yard.
Wow. Sean, who did I give the last point to?
I gave it to Bloom.
Sean's like reading some blog about the Bulls right now.
All right.
No, I'm not.
Bloom
I'm
with
listening
a 2-1.
2-1.
I love you. I'm taking Sean to Monday Night Raw on Monday.
I know.
Ooh, nice.
Cena going to be there?
Did you get Cammy the blue or green shirt that we were talking about?
We're all three family members are wearing green John Cena shirts.
There might be a Hulkamania appearance Monday night. We were sitting at the press conference after the game on Saturday. Everybody else is waiting for the coaches to come in. And Travis says something to Chris, and he's like, Chris doesn't say anything. And Travis is like, okay. And he's like, sorry, I'm trying to decide whether I should get Cammy a blue or a green John Cena shirt.
When you score 45 points at home, Clones.
Journalism.
Hey, no, I'm just saying, like, anything I wrote on Saturday, our people weren't going to want to
read. That.
So I'm more I'm more interested in treating my baby girl to a John Cena t-shirt.
Is Rousey going to be there?
I don't know.
All right, doesn't matter. We need
Sean, you said that Hulkamania might be there?
Well, I'm wearing my Hulk Hogan
like
t-shirt.
The old guy?
Oh, come on.
We got to get to question four. Like come on. We got to get to question four. Focus up.
Yeah.
All right. Question number four. After last night, Lindell Wigginton is averaging 17.7 points on 40% shooting from the field and 43% shooting from three in conference play. 17.7 points is sixth in the league. Do you have Lindell on your all Big 12 team, and which level, if so? Chris, you're up.
That's a phenomenal question. Man, I just got to think here. Did they do in the Big 12, like, centers, forwards?
Yeah, they're pretty loose with it.
I don't think so.
I think they usually try and get a couple forwards in there.
How many teams do they have? Do they have three teams?
Three teams.
He'll be third team.
Okay.
He'll be third team and all-newcomer team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he's got a chance to get his way into the second team.
I mean, he's got a chance. I'm not saying he won't. I just
17.
But if Iowa
sixth
State
in the league in scoring in conference games.
But if they end up 5-13 or what, like
okay, so let's just do it. I think they do five. Sometimes they add people. I think it's been five.
I think if it was a year like it was when Perry Ellis and all those and Buddy Hield
like
and all of them,
they would be willing to. So it's Trae Young,
rules.
Javon Carter,
yes,
Devontae Graham,
Keenan Evans,
locks lock it up. Other than that. You go through it.
Barry Brown would be in that conversation,
probably. Yeah, Brown from K-State. Dean Wade's been good.
Wade would be in that conversation.
Mo
Bamba probably is in that
Bamba's
conversation.
Mo Bamba's definitely in the conversation. So, yeah, you've got some options there. But I think Wigginton, from a guard standpoint, is in that next tier. Him and LeCompte. Oklahoma State doesn't really have anybody. So, I'll throw him in the second team conversation right now. Same with Donovan. They're both second teamers, potentially.
Oh, man. I got to give Bloom the point.
Of course.
Like, Naz Long made second team.
You're such a Bloom homer. It's ridiculous.
Bloom made a good point. He even listed people out.
Who are the other guards?
Out his first team.
Who are the other guards?
And you just.
Good for you.
Are you upset? Are you upset?
No, I'm totally fine because I'm going to crush this fifth point.
I really hope that you don't become the first person to ever lose 4-1.
I'm all about finishing strong.
All right, what we got?
All right, last night's win puts postseason thoughts back into the heads of Iowa State fans.
Come on.
How many games do the Cyclones need to win in the second half of Big 12 play to become true postseason contenders?
What do you mean by postseason?
I said
it's
NIT
on the table.
Or NCAA.
Well,
it's absolutely on the table.
Yeah. No, I know.
Okay.
How many games left?
Nine.
Plus the Big 12 tournament.
And they're what right now, 11-9, 12-9?
12-9,
Well, you got to get to 500. So – three more games, four more games, and you're in the postseason.
See, but the problem with
if you get to 500, you're in the NIT. Iowa State will be in the NIT.
No, they won't.
The problem with that is
they
do more to try and get the mid-majors in now.
So it's changed.
They still want to make money, and they know if they have a game at Hilton Coliseum, they'll make money.
This is a business. Can I do my scenarios?
Yeah.
Because I thought about this today.
Bloom's going to win 4-1.
This is probably going to be his column that he's going to write
next
week.
Bloom doesn't write columns anymore.
You're right. Do you see my thing that he tweeted?
Bloom's wife got pregnant, and columns are all done.
He was what were you tweeting
too
about?
Too busy putting together cribs and stuff.
The Red Panda deal, and I said that Red Panda's deal is almost as good as yours with Cyclone Fanatic to write one column like every 6 months.
I didn't see that. That's fantastic. Well done. Jared gets the point.
Long story short, 5-4 and a win in KC gets you in the bubble conversation. Okay? So that'd be 8-10. Don't look
Dude,
at,
if they go 8-10 in a win in KC, they're in the tournament.
I think they're on the. They're
I'll tell you,
first four.
If they get the scenario you just laid out, they will be in the NCAA tournament. If that scenario, I don't think it'll happen.
Don't look at win totals like we get caught up in win totals now. The Milwaukee loss hurts, but that would be right now. They have four top 50 KenPom wins, which is a pretty good number.
It is,
and so
you're exactly right.
If you win five games left, at least. Three or four of those are against top 50
They can beat
teams.
Kansas at home.
Yes. So, I mean, I think there's opportunities. I'm not saying they're going to get in the NCAA tournament. I don't even think they're going to get in the NIT at this point. But five wins and a win in KC, probably NCAA. I think if you get four wins,
Saturday's huge.
You're in the NIT.
Saturday's huge.
I would say there's nine games left. Eight of them are against KenPom top 50 teams.
There you go. Opportunity awaits.
Thanks, guys.
It's February.
It's like you do sales for a living.
No,
or
let's.
Something.
I mean,
thanks to Carl Chevrolet.
Go Win and Waco.
For being the presenting sponsor of the CM Radio Show. We're going to go drink some beer here at Whiskey River in Ankeny. Have a great night, everybody, on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.